We are studying about the prayers of the saints. And last week, we studied that Samuel's prayer God heard, but Saul's prayer God did not hear. Now that David is coming to his hometown, that's the town that Philistine king gave it to him, the name called Ziklag. Go to the chapter 30, verse 1 to 8, we read.
And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire.
Okay, now see the situation. 600 people, their wives, their children, David's two wives, and all of these people, this enemy, took and burned the whole city. Now David is thinking, up to now I'm going and killing everybody, destroying everybody, and coming and fooling the king, said I'm killing Israeli people, actually he's killing other people. And other man says, oh, he's a very good man, and I trust him, and I'm going to make him my chief officer or military man and things like that. But the David was doing wrong thing, killing innocent people, shedding innocent blood. Now he comes here and the town is completely burned down. Wives and children, they are all gone, and whatever the property they had, everything is gone. Now what David is going to do? Read a little bit further.
And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep.
Okay, now see the situation. David and all of his warriors, 600 people, crying, they cry so much, they didn't have even strength to cry anymore. From that, you know how much scared and how much worried and how much helpless these people were. And see, now David is asking these people, let's go and fight with them. So let's see what these people telling David. Go ahead.
And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters.
So now, all the David's soldiers got mad at David, and they said, we are going to kill you. They were with him. Now they said, we are going to kill you with the stones. So that means David had no help from these people. And now nobody was encouraging David. Okay, David, your wife's also gone and your property is gone. Ours is gone. Oh, let's stick together and let's do something together. But they said, no, we are going to kill you. And they might have taken stone to hit the David. So now David has no help from his people. So what happened? Now he turns to God. The word of God says, he encouraged himself. Listen.
And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
What does it mean? He did not say anything bad to God. Why this happened to me? I think he realized he made a mistake. Maybe he asked God forgiveness. It doesn't say here, but he might have cried to God and, Lord, what should I do? And see what God says to him.
And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
See, this is the time he's asking God's help, and pray to God and say, Lord, what should I do now? So God was teaching David a lesson. you going and killing all the innocent people, if you would have asked me, I would have told you what to do and what not to do. But now when he turns to God, God answers prayer. From this, what we learn? People can make mistakes, but they have to try to correct their mistake, go to God, and God will answer your prayer. So now, God said, I'm going to give these people in your hand. But now, David didn't know where he is going to find these people. And so, now, how many days passed? What's happening? Where these people are? It's a wide, wide field. So it's difficult to find out the people. Okay, let's read verse 12.
And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick.
Now what happened here? There was one man was sick. They left him to die, and those people just went and having a good time. They were eating and drinking and having a good time, and this man was left to die. So David gave him food, and when this man came to his senses, now can you see, this man is saying, I am a young man. When he's saying, I'm a young man, from that I knew it was difficult to people to find out he's a young man or he's dying man. You know, but now he's saying, you know, I'm a young man. I was dying. I was sick. So David asked him, could you tell me where these people are? So this man guided them. Let's go read from there.
And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled.
Okay, now see what happened here? All these people having party. And so he said he killed every one of them. Only people ran away. 400 people were sitting on the camels, so they ran. And if you study this chapter, up to 31 verses, but when you study this chapter, what happens? David got 600 people to go with him. 200 people said, we cannot go because they got so much crying and tired and could not swim in the river. And they said, we cannot go. We are going to stay this side and you people go. So only 400 people went. Now the 400 people who are sitting in the camel ran away. Just think, those 400 people turn around and start hitting all these 400 people of David. They would have been killed. But God told him, everything what you lost, you're going to get, and you're not going to lose one soul. So David has to believe it. When you believe that what God said is going to happen, and God heard your prayer, then you should not have any doubt about it. Some people pray, and after prayer they said, I don't think God heard my prayer. I don't think it's going to happen. And when you doubt, it will not happen. David prayed. God answered the prayer. He said, I'm going to give all these enemies in your hand. Whatever you lost, you're going to get everything back. You're not going to lose anything. And accordingly, everything they got back. So when they're coming back, they got so much loot. So they bought it. The other people were sitting there, 200 people, didn't go with David because of their weakness. And so these 400 people who went with him, those people are called not even good people, wicked people. Read the verse 22.
Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, Because they went not with us, We will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart.
The word of God said they were wicked people, they were not good people, even though they were with David and fighting with David, but their heart was not good. They were so angry, they said, we are not going to give this loot to these 200 people, didn't come with us. But the David didn't listen to them. He gave this all 200 people. Not only that, if you read, he sent so much gift each and every city of Israeli people. From that, you know how much money he got and how much wealth he got. And so he gave to everybody. And so God heard his prayer because he gave all the things to other people. And then we learned that Saul died. So naturally, David became very famous. What happens when you give to somebody something? People say thank you. Because David, when he gives all the loot, not only gave it to these 200 who did not come for war, and he starts sending gift to all the cities of Israel. So from that, you know how much money and how much loot he got. And so now he was a very good man, doing everything nice. And so he thought, now everybody likes me. So now if you come to the 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now he's asking a question to Nathan, the prophet, and see what Nathan is saying to him. 2 Samuel chapter 7, start reading from verse 1.
And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee.
Now here what happens. Nathan thought he's a God-chosen man, and he's asking me a question to build the house. He started such a way, I have a good house. Lord's ark is staying in this tabernacle, so we need a beautiful house for God. So Nathan, instead of praying to God, Nathan gave him the blanket permission. Go ahead. You're a good man. Build the temple. It's a good thing. Go ahead and do it. And see what happens.
And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. As since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Okay, now here, David wants to build a house. Nathan comes and says, okay, go ahead and build it. But God said, no more. You are not going to build the house for me. Now, he doesn't give you any information why God said to him, don't do it. But let's read in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3.
But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood.
Now, here we see, God said to him, through the Nathan, why I'm not allowing temple for me because you did war, and we read it, if you remember, 1 Samuel 27, how he was going village to village and places to places and killing people, not allowing one man to alive because somebody will go and tell somebody that David came and killed us. So he would kill everybody. Not a single man he will left. Not only that, we know what he did. Uriah, his wife, was taking shower or bath. He saw her beautiful, and then he wanted her to be his wife. He killed the Uriah and took his wife. And that's why that also was innocent blood was shed. So God did not allow David to build the house. God does not allow the sin to go unpunished. Go to the 2 Samuel chapter 12 and start reading from verse 1.
And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man.
Okay, now you know the story. David, you killed one of your soldiers and took his wife. He didn't have the courage, so he told the story. And he said, who is that man? That man should be killed. He said, that's you. So now, from that, we know that David felt bad, start reading from verse 13.
And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die.
Some problem comes, or some death comes, and the people say, why this happened? So that's why here is the example. If something happens in the family, sickness, disease, some problem comes, that person, husband, wife, or family member, supposed to pray and say, Lord, why this happened in our family? What is the problem? And go to God and ask. Now the Nathan told him very clearly, your son is going to die. David thought, God is gracious. Sometime when I pray, God might hear my prayer. And David start praying for the child. Read a little bit further.
And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted, and went in, and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose, and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?
Now here we see David is fasting and praying, how many days? 7 days. He's a king. He's not sitting on the throne. He's lying on the floor. He's praying. He's crying. He's weeping. He's fasting. 7 days passed. According to the prophet's word, the child dies. When the child died, these people didn't want to say to David what happened, but he heard their whispering, and he got up and see what he did.
But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.
David loved that child so much. 7 days he fasted, prayer was not answered, and when the child is dead, he just gets up, start praising God, and not saying one word against God. And that's what we have to learn. Many people, when tragedy happens, they start blaming God, they start cursing God. Where is God? Why this happened to the good people? Now just think, somebody didn't know anything about this story. What David did to Uriah, why this happened, and just they heard only this story, that David's child was sick and died and David prayed for 7 days and nothing happened. They will start blaming God. David did not say one word against God. That's what we have to learn. Just like a Job. Job's all children died. His wife said what? Curse God and die. What did he say? You are talking like a heathen person. And he did not say anything against God, but he said, God giveth, God taketh away. And so he was happy. St. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, Enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. In those days, they did not have this kind of revelation. So anything happened, God did it. Because God allows enemy to destroy people. If they do something wrong, he gives the contract to enemy to ruin them. But that's why they said God did it. But actually, the enemy always watching over the people. If they do anything bad, enemy comes and say, okay, could you give me some permission to do something wrong to this person? And that's what they're looking for. If you remember, Moses was a good man. He struck the rock twice. When God told him, speak to the rock and water will come. He did not believe. He just said, I'm so angry. One time I hit the rock and water came. This time I'm hitting twice. And God said, you know, you disobey me, you're not going to see the promised land. And some people say, why is a small mistake? What's wrong? One time he hit the rock and now he hits her twice. What is the difference? Difference is this. Jesus Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ was crucified once. You cannot crucify Christ twice. That was the meaning in there. When the Moses died, and angels were taking this dead body to bury, because God was going to bury him, here comes the Satan's angel. He said, hey, don't take him. This man is our man. And then the Michael came and fought with him. You can read that in Jude. Go ahead.
Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee.
So what happened here, the devil's angel coming and fighting with the other angel, so Michael came and rebuked him and said, God rebuke you. Point I'm making here, one mistake Moses did, and the devil thought, oh, now he's belonged to us because, you know, he made a mistake. That's why we read in the book of Revelation, says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And so here the enemy came, destroyed the baby, and the word of God says, David prayed, prayer did not work. So what are we learning? One time David prayed, God heard his prayer. One time he prayed, God did not hear his prayer. Why it happened? Because once you go against the word of God, against the will of God, and you pray, God do not hear the prayer. He says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, please read.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
Even his prayer. Whose prayer? The person who turns his ear away from the Lord, means doesn't want to hear what God says, his prayer is abomination. And verse 13, he says, even though somebody repents, and if he's not forsaking the wrong thing, God is not going to have mercy on that person.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
See how God's mercy comes? Confess the sins and what? Forsake. People say, oh, I made a mistake. And they do the same mistake again and again and again and again. She said, when you say, I confess my sins, that means confess the sins and what? Forsake. Then God will have mercy. That's what the word of God says. When you say repent, repent means turn around. Now, what does it mean, turn around? The person going away from God means committing sin. Repent means come back to God. That's the real meaning. And so, if somebody says, I repent, or I repented, the fruit of repentance means he gave up those things and never do it again. Proverbs 28 verse 13, it says, if you cover your sins, you will not have prosperity, you will not have blessings. You have to confess your sins and what? Forsake your sins. Then you will have mercy. Nathan told him story and he really repented. And just read Psalm 51, few verses, and then I'm going to pray.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
God only answers the prayer when you are brokenhearted. And he really repented. And if you have the Bible, on the top of your Bible will tell you when he prayed this prayer or when he sang this song. When he confessed his sins to God. So we are learning something. When you have a problem, go to God. He will answer your prayer. But if you hide your sin, you can pray 7 days fasting. You can break your head. Nothing will happen until you turn to God. So that's what the word of God is saying. So we learn. Sometimes people say, you know, I prayed and prayed and nothing happened. And so many people, when they prayed and nothing happened, they said, okay, God is not listening to me, so I go to the doctor now. Now some people come to me, could you please pray I get better, otherwise I go to doctor. I said, don't scare me. You want to go to doctor? Go to doctor first. And if it doesn't work, then come for prayer. And some people think like, you know, if I scare the God, God will do faster. God says, you know, you cannot fool God. God knows everyone's heart. God can do anything but fail. If the Lazarus was 4 days dead, right? He just said, Lazarus, come forth. Now his sister said, oh, no, he's already dead and smelling and this and that. And that's the lady who was saying, why you didn't come? I know you can do anything. If you are a believer, you have to take control and say, God is going to do miracle. God will listen to our prayer. Before we go to God, we have to have our hearts clean. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. And we learn that God answers the prayer when we humble ourselves, when we put it right with God, when we confess our sins and turn to God. We cannot fight with God. We cannot be angry with God. If we do, we are the losers. God is not going to be shaken by our anger or our frustration. Give us grace to be humble ourselves, to turn to you for answers. And you are a prayer answering God. You never lost the case. When we come to you, your word says, have faith in God. So without faith, we cannot do anything. We need faith in God to do the signs and wonders and miracles. And you have given us your Holy Spirit. David was saying, Lord, please do not take the Holy Spirit from me. But you have given us the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And you promised to your people, whatever the miracles I did, you will do also, and you will do greater miracles than me. But you said it, and I believe it, and it will be done. So give us grace to study the word and put it in practice, grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.